This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
PopX Cast.
Dan, the man with the plan, Daniel the manual.
What is up, Joe? How are you doing, man?
Oh, man, I am great, dude. I am just, I'm excited to talk about tonight, but
yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
A lot.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
A bunch to cover. I've learned firsthand that there is a lot to cover when it comes to criticism. There's a lot to cover when it comes to, you know, was this movie good as a standalone film? Were people able to get some of the scenes that were happening?
Yeah.
Like maybe the editing could have been a little better, but
there's just so many little intricacies. I mean, it's just like we could literally pick it apart, and we will. Daniel and myself are going to be giving you guys pretty much, and we're going to throw this out there. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, we're sorry, but when we go into this, we'll get, but Dan,
turn it off.
Last week's show with Russ Braun,
right?
It was pretty cool, right? Talking to a seasoned Disney animation, Marvel, DC guy.
I was a little, you know, there were some things that
there were some quirks.
There was a couple tweaks here and there, but it was all in all, it was a good show, and I really liked to hear him weigh in on a lot of the things that he had to go through to, you know, be where he is and the stories that he had for us. It was a really good interview, and I really appreciated his time.
Yeah. And if you guys didn't catch last week's show, which is episode 8 with Russ Braun, be sure to head over to iTunes right now. And first and foremost, click on that subscribe button and just leave us an amazing. We got Lindsay Badger over here, host with the most, dropping the linkage, doing what she does best. She is awesome sauce. And and moving right along with that as well, Dan, should we just like head on with this thing?
Yeah,
should we just like?
I want to know. I just all it, as a whole. What did you think of the movie?
Okay, there was parts that really confused the heck out of me.
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
No. There, and it seemed. Oh gosh. I've been wrestling with this all week, trying to put into words, and I knew I had this podcast coming up, and I've been trying to wrestle with a way to be able to describe what it is. It seems as though Zack Snyder has taken 5 graphic novels from the past 25 years of DC comic history and crammed them all into one movie. Does that make sense?
I guess so, because
yeah.
You know, with me, it's I'm unfamiliar with those graphic novels. I am,
yeah.
You know, I feel like we all know who Batman is. We know that same story that's been told in all the movies that have been put out, regardless of who was doing it, what story we were getting. We still got the Batman's parents were killed that gave him the want and will to be who he is, to take up the bat.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but right off, how many times do we need to see the poor Wayne family die in cinematic history?
But I can understand it because this is a new Batman they're bringing in. And it was another confusing part. If you weren't someone who knew that this was a different story, you're thinking of the Batman that we just saw with Christopher Nolan. And, you know, so, yeah, but as when I, if I were to sit there and watch the movie, I liked it. I did like it. There was a lot of really cool parts. You know, it was, there were some good scenes and the action was really awesome. And
yeah.
But, you know, there was some editing choices that I feel that could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, there were some editorial things that just kind of really didn't jive with me. And I was okay with seeing the Wayne family go through that again. Because, all right, you had hit on something, and I do want to bring that up. I went to see this movie with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, is this like the next one right after Christopher Nolan's Batman? Because he was thinking that this was going to pick up right after Bane.
Right.
And I'm like, no. That saga is done. There will never be a fourth Nolan Batman.
Right. Yeah.
And
nobody, but not, you know.
It can. There will be a, I mean, if he wanted it to be a fourth Batman, but he stated on the record that he doesn't want it to be a fourth Batman. But
for the regular moviegoer, we don't know that.
Nobody knew that. Yeah. And of course I knew that going in. I knew that he was taking from Frank Miller and drawing in that style, that mystique and just the suit and just the way the Batman was from the Frank Miller graphic novel, The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
And that's a lot of the basis into which there was two main graphic novels that have been in print from DC Comics over the past 20 years that this movie was really drawn from. One was obviously Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
And the number two was The Death of Superman back in the early 90s. And, we got that out of the gate. I just want to say, starting the movie, all right, we see the Waynes, we're going through it.
Yeah. And I like the way they opened it. It was nice, some nice music. They made it dramatic. You got the feel of Bruce Wayne. And then as soon as that happens, we get a Zod and Superman fighting at the end of Man of Steel.
Yeah. And you hear the sound of that, the gravity.
That thing was always like a kind of an eerie noise.
It was kind of weird. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like the Purge sound, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we get this sense of panic right at the beginning when that, after the Wayne scene and, he's racing through Gotham and he heads to his Wayne Enterprise building that's in Metropolis. Mm-hmm. Sees it crash. A friend of his that was in the building, I think he was the one who was operating that building, dies. Yep. You see someone who's hurt. You see a bunch of people that are hurt. And then, you know, Wayne is seeing all this collateral damage being done by these beings with great power, and he's paranoid. And he's scared and he's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they use this little girl moment to kind of tug on the heartstrings of you know, Wayne here. I know they had to have thrown that in there for that. But, you know, he sees that her mom dies in the building that, you know, he owned and that Superman just destroyed with Zod. And I get it. You know, Batman's always been a suspicious character. That's always been his thing.
Yeah.
Always wants to know everything about everyone.
And I think this is the first time this is obviously the first time in cinematic history that we've seen Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent in the same, you know, universal space. They've been referenced before, but this is the first time. And seeing how the battle between Zod was such an epic impact, we're kind of picking up with the aftermath of what happened in Metropolis. And Metropolis is still kind of recuperating in that scene. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing devastation. It kind of almost feels like 9/11.
Right.
You know, what's going on here? You know, is this some kind of attack or something?
Yeah. And it's insane. You know, these people, like you said, are trying to deal and cope with what just happened. You know,
they're recuperating. Yeah,
yeah. And healing. All of this technology and pieces of the ship are all over the place, all over the world.
pretty much.
And it's just exactly. Everyone's just trying to heal right now. And
then automatically, right out of nowhere, we're transported to some kind of desert scene.
Yeah.
And the desert scene did not, this is one of those editorial pieces that just did not seem to fit. And it was all based around a bullet that was manufactured from LexCorp. Okay, and I understand they're trying to link the two.
Did you notice that Book getting shot in the first place? Did you actually remember seeing that happen?
No. Actually,
yeah, it happens. And it happens for such a split second that if you didn't see, I saw it twice. It's the day after Tuesday. I saw Monday and then I saw Tuesday, and I didn't notice because when I first saw it, I was like, where did this bullet come from? Why is she pulling out of this book? And I didn't.
I must have been reaching down and grabbing popcorners or something at that time.
Right. When those yeah. guys turned around and started shooting up the place, and you didn't know why the heck that was going on.
I
very choppy when it came to some of those parts. But you know, we see Lois gets in trouble and Superman comes in, saves her.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of just like, all right, so this is just something that's happening right now. You know, it's 18 months later, Lois has got herself into some pickle, and obviously Superman comes into the rescue.
And we see, for the first time, we see Superman and Lois truly intimate.
Yeah.
And which is different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, and that's another thing where it's like, and it's like almost very open to where, hey, man, maybe you should keep that under wraps so she's not always in trouble.
Yeah, keep it on the DL.
But she's also putting herself out there, too. I mean, it's not like she's some weak chick. You know, it just seems like Superman can't seem to take himself away from trying to save her all the time, man. Hey, let her take care of her own business, bro. Back off.
I can't repeat what they said in the chat, but it's funny.
But... Lincoln Hancock. Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man, that's funny.
But yeah, and then we cut to, we get a piece of what Batman's been up to, right? He's branding guys.
Yeah. What is that all about? He's taking a hot brand to their flesh on their chest.
I think he knows what it's doing to them in jail. And I think he's gotten to this point where he's so jaded by criminals and stuff that... he's given these guys, he's not killing them necessarily himself, but he's pretty much letting scum kill the scum kind of thing. You know, he puts his brand on them, and these guys are looking at this guy as like, it's a tracker.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I've taken you down before.
Yeah. And not only that, it's, you know, these guys go to the prison and they see this brand and they're like, you know, if we associate with this guy, we're going to get tagged by the bat. So you take this guy out and it's, you know, he's no longer a problem anymore.
Well, we see the desert scene, and I'm still puzzled about, we have this 10 minutes of a desert scene about one bullet, which they could have easily condensed down, but I digress. I'm not Zack Snyder. I don't know how his mind works. But then we are teleported 18 months later, like you said, Bruce Wayne's in his lair, and then he starts having these visions. And they're dreams, nightmares, or... something to that effect.
Yeah. Well, this is after he gets invited. You said after he gets invited to Lex Luthor's party and stuff.
Yeah. This is after the party.
This mysterious woman who ends up taking his data, actually.
His flash drive. Mm-hmm.
And we're not supposed to know who this woman is. And but we all the fans know who she is.
Yeah.
And as we cut to another scene, which was kind of out of place, where they're at this art gala. And he runs into her and she tells him, oh, I didn't get what I was looking for. I like to share, and your stuff is in your glove compartment. And it was kind of like, it was kind of a waste of time to introduce Wonder
Woman. Yeah, that was a weird way to introduce her sub-character.
Yeah, just like stealing something from him, not getting what she wanted out of it.
Oh, by the way, it's in your glove compartment.
Yeah. Like, it was weird.
It was weird.
But, you know, I do like her as Wonder Woman, especially when she's with the costume. Yeah. But anyway, we progress a little. Anyway, so that happens, and So yeah, and then we get that scene where he's decrypting it, and like
He falls
2% goes
asleep.
by, and he does goes this. Now I'm told that he went through some time warp. Flash
Well,
took him into some possible future where he's wearing a trench coat, looking like he's,
I'm not sure what
post.
really happened there. The Flash is in it. Well, first off, he has this vision of this giant bat, which is just freaky as heck. You
Yeah,
remember the
where his
giant
mom,
bat?
yeah, his mom's like, his mom's grave's bleeding, and then all of a sudden,
Sudden, this
boom. Yeah.
this bat comes out of the grave, and
Yeah, and then
then it's like right in the same thing, we see him teleported to this, I want to say
alternate.
like a post-apocalyptic burning city that I didn't understand it. I mean, I understand where they're going with it.
He's wearing this K. He's wearing this like trench
Goggles.
coat, but he's still wearing the suit. And I don't know. And I'm just so he's meeting up with these trucks, and
Yeah.
he goes to get this what you think is going to be kryptonite, and then it's 2 light bulbs, and he's stooped. He's well duped, and all of a sudden you see all these guys rip off their ponchos or whatever they're wearing, and they all have this Superman badge on, and they're in combat gear, and they just start wiping everybody out.
I
And
know.
it
And
was a
then we
really cool
see
fight scene.
the flying demons coming in with
Yeah,
the
what was
wings.
that? Where these guys come from? I have no idea what's going on. See, that's what started confusing me. It was we're, and yeah, I guess it's supposed to be some crazy premonition, and maybe you're not supposed to understand what's happening,
Yeah.
but it's kind of like you really threw me for a loop there.
Well, I actually did break that little piece down, if I may. We remember Age of Ultron when Tony Stark had the vision and all the Avengers were piled up dead on a mountain. It was kind of like a foreshadowing of Infinity War. I think that this has some kind of correlation with that, with Batman. This is a future scene, and we're seeing what is going to happen right before Darkseid comes on the scene.
Yeah,
And
I just feel like it was
I
a little
think
complicated.
it was a little like wrapped up for me though. I couldn't I couldn't really like, is it a dream? Is it a vision? Did the Flash take him to the future? Is this the future? Or is he just in, did he have too much sushi to eat? And this is just a crazy Bruce Wayne dream? What's going on? And right after that, we see the Flash in kind of like a time warp telling him, and it was kind of hard to make out what he was saying.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm too late. I think he was like, I'm too early. I think the Flash was, it seemed like he made a mistake and was at the wrong point in time or something, but he
Too
was
early or
trying to get
something.
the message across.
Yeah.
And because he was saying like, you were right about him and all this. And I think this was a Flash from a future when Superman lost a lot and kind of just turned into an asshole, it seemed like, because he's hanging there,
Yeah.
he just fries those guys. That's not Superman. He doesn't do that. Like,
No.
what drove him to that point?
Yeah, it was
But
weird.
that's why I was like, what the heck happened? I mean, just because Lois died, he's turning into Mr. Freaking,
I don't know. It's almost like he's turned into Zod or something.
like Captain Utopia.
Yeah.
So it's anyway, that
Yeah.
happens. And I thought the fight scene though was really cool.
The fight scene was great.
When he's like kicking some serious butt, like
Yeah, he's throwing down.
it was awesome. I thought that was great. But again, we just kind of got lost. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but you're also being just me. I'm just a
Yeah.
guy who wants to go see these cool movies.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting lost, and I don't read the comic books, and I don't have all that knowledge of being able to pull this and pull that together, and that's where they went wrong.
And I got to be honest with you, Dan. You hit the nail on the head. I've read these comics and I'm still a little confused because I don't really have a clear vision. Oh, do you hear that? I actually cross-referenced Marvel. And anyway, I had a clear foresight of what's going on here. I understand what's going on in Frank Miller's graphic novels. I understand what's going on in you know, and I actually pulled out a couple of old school ones, The Death of Superman.
Right.
And I actually was looking through some of the old, the classics, and these are very straight up, straightforward. And, you know, we'll talk about these as we wrap up, because that's the wrap up of the movie. But it was really weird, because I can't, there's no clear, concise point. I know we're going towards Justice League, but it's just like a cluster. There's just too much going on at one time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. I feel like they tried to, it's like they were almost afraid that they weren't going to be able to make more unless they really hit a home run with this.
Yeah.
And I feel with that fear, they tried to stuff too much, you know, into one film, and it kind of got, because they wanted to make this a 3-hour film.
Yeah.
Right? From what I've been told, and they couldn't because of IMAX limitations and all of that jazz. And
yeah, you're so right. Zack Snyder. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cuts, you know. And then, you know, when he comes out of that little dream sequence, you know, it's he goes into straight, it's time for war.
Beast mode.
Yeah. But, you know, all in all, I still thought visually it was really cool. I did like it, and I was able to pull a lot of it together.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, I mean, I understood probably a good 80% of it. And, yeah. And you know, despite the reviews, and we had talked about this last week, Dan, last week on our podcast, episode 8, we had said that the review was already at like 33%.
It was a tad harsh.
It was a tad harsh. Yeah. Well, it was a tad harsh, and I honestly think there's a conspiracy about that or something. I think the critics need their own critics. I think the foundation has been set, and we do have a foundation for future of DC here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, at the same time, it's just been, I think the critics just went a little too far. It's almost as if someone was paid off. All right, here's $500. Give us a crappy review on this movie, and here, be just mums the word, and off you go. It's kind of what it felt like.
But I think also it comes from that, you know, almost the Force Awakens tried to get hit hard with critics when that came out because of the hype. You know, they juice these movies up with the trailers, and
but the Force Awakens, Dan, come on, was awesome. You know,
but there they were, everyone saying, oh, it's just a repeat, it's just the same story, and they tried to really destroy that one, and it was a good movie.
We all knew deep down it was going to be good.
Yeah, but, you know, with this movie, this was a good movie. I'm not saying it was terrible, but there were some things, you know, just because they couldn't go the time that they wanted with this movie, that led to the editing problems that they had, and therefore maybe a little lack of description with some of the scenes, you know, maybe not being able to fully give you what you needed.
What was it, the best superhero movie made? No. Was it, did it have its moments in keeping a steady storyline? Yeah, it did.
And I mean, we haven't even touched on Lex Luthor.
I know, and that's where I was wanting to go. Dan, what do you think about Lex and Jesse Eisenberg?
He was different for me, but I mean, he was good. I thought he, you know, his acting was great. I like how he was always on the brink of wanting to freak the heck out, and then he would just kind of pull it together and just kind of have this, like you could tell by the sound of his voice and his face, like he was really just holding it back, you know, and it was good. He did a great job. And like, just even the part that you saw in the trailers where he hits Superman's chest, he's like, I would not want to pick a fight with this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, just stuff like that. He did a really good job at just the one part that I loved the most with him was when he set up Superman, his whole little master plan started pulling together. He pushed Lois off the building. Superman came up, and when he rose above the building, he was just like, ah! You know, like he was... You know, he was scared, but he was also excited. Like, just, he was loving it.
Yeah.
Yet he knew that Superman could just crush him like an ant.
Yeah.
And it, like, being able to control that power was like the way he was acting through that when his eyes got red and he was just like, oh, I don't know. you know, he's like, they didn't tell me where he was, where she was or whatever.
Yeah.
But he did a great job. What do you think?
I'm on the fence about Jesse Eisenberg. He seemed like he would play a far better role as the Joker, personally.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
I think you know, he's got the mannerisms, the face, and all of that. And I think he could be. Did he nail the role of Lex Luthor? Yeah, to some degree. I didn't understand Lex Luthor's. I start to say Lex Luthor. That's funny. Oh yeah, brother. I didn't understand his psychotic break, like when he went mentally insane and was drooling and was like going ding 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 ding. It was just off his rocker.
I think because he went into that computer database, and I think he just kind of was overwhelmed by all the crap that he knew.
Yeah.
Remember when he said, "Teach me everything"?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he was talking to the ship's computer.
Well, there's actually a deleted scene that was released this past week where Lex is in the ship right before he makes Doomsday, and he's like wading out into a pool of blood, talking to what appears to be some sort of demon with the cubes around him, and the cubes are the same ones that we saw Cyborg get made from.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to what you said earlier, Dan, there were 30 minutes of this movie that was cut.
Yeah.
And I think the pieces of the puzzle, when we actually get the extended release on Blu-ray, I think we're going to be like, oh, that's why Lex went mentally insane. I understand now.
Right.
And the pieces of the puzzle probably come together.
And there's so much that we're actually like forgetting a bunch. We haven't even touched on the battle between Batman and Superman, the whole title of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but didn't it just kind of tickle you a little bit to see Superman get his ass kicked for a little bit?
It was kind of nice. And Batman,
a little bit of a relief.
A little bit of a spoiler alert. Batman takes kryptonite and he invents a kryptonite grenade, which releases powder, and Superman inhales it. And Batman is able to just take that suit and just beat the crap out of Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it looked like with those punches that what they did there with the punching, like, I mean, I was like, damn, he is really playing punches on him. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really kicking the crap out of him for a little bit there. And in like that whole montage scene, just to get ready, I was a little upset that I didn't get to see his suit kind of being made.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have Iron Man. Well, Jeremy Iron Man. We can edit that out.
No, it's fine. I was actually answering a question over the chat. Cameron over in the UK said, what about the face when Superman actually takes the scepter with the kryptonite on the end and cuts Superman's face?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, will the scar come back? And actually, when Superman is up in space and the United States, oh, well, you know what? Our remedy is that, you know what? There's an alien in outer space. Let's nuke it. It seems like to be America's only answer. You know what? Let's send up a nuclear warhead. That's the only line of defense America has for anything. But anyway, I digress.
It's funny too that they knew about the kryptonite because it was introduced at the beginning. So the senator and the government knew. But there they go sending a nuke up.
Yeah, it was weird. And then Cameron, you know, as Superman is kind of exploded in outer space, we kind of see like what's like a zombie Superman, which was kind of weird. It kind of looked like Bizarro.
I think it was the nuclear energy, you know, degraded him and broke him down.
It sucked out of him. But then when the sun came back on his face, he started rejuvenating and regenerating and stuff like that. But so we've talked about Lex Luthor and we've talked about getting back to the fight. I thought the fight was epic. And something I've never realized, and this is coming from a comic book nerd, I never realized that Superman and Batman had the same mother's first name.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And I thought that was kind of cool. But
that was neat.
That part, how did did Superman know that her name was Martha? Did he not say my mom? Why did he say Martha? Like, you don't call your mom, like, I wouldn't call my mom Lynn. You know what I mean?
That was kind of weird. It's like,
Lynn, they're trying to kill Lynn.
Yeah, like, call my mom and be like, hey, Sandra, can you bring me over some Chick-fil-A? She'd be like, boy.
Right? Like if like he only if Superman knew the name of Wayne's mother. That's the only thing I can think of why he said Martha and not my mother. You know, like my mom, they have my mom. He just said Martha. So unless he knew the name of Bruce's mom, I don't see why he said Martha.
It was an interesting correlation though between the two moms and their last name.
It was nice. I did like that part. I was like, oh yeah, that'll get him out of his, that'll snap.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, it did help him snap out of his funk. And I think after that, Batman becomes Superman's bae. After that point.
Hey,
BFF.
They made up pretty quickly. You know, it's like, hey, you pretty much killed me with some kryptonite gas there and kicked the crap out of me.
It's okay. Water under the bridge.
Yeah. Let's hug it out.
Let's hug it out, guys. Big doomsday guy.
Yeah, right. And then, Did you know about this? So this was this is another little tidbit that they threw in there that a friend told me, who's in the chat, about why maybe Bruce was so, you know, reluctant to partner up with Superman from the beginning. And there was a part between him and Alfred when we were talking, and he goes, you know, over 20 years of doing this, we've seen what good men can turn into. Huh. And he walks by the suit that's in the glass case that has the writing on it that says, Joker's. Haha, the joke's on you.
Yeah.
Did you see whose suit that was?
That was a Robin's, wasn't it?
Yeah. So there's a theory that's going around that there were two puncture wounds in the suit, either puncture wounds or bullet holes.
Okay.
And the picture of our friend Jared Leno as the Joker has those same scars.
Really? Did you just drop a bomb on Pape?
That's was given to me by @Mart in the chat room.
Oh, snap.
And I wouldn't have known that.
So there is a tie-in between Dawn of Justice and Suicide Squad.
I would assume so.
Interesting. I like it. Well, you heard it here first, folks. I mean, now I want to go back and actually, if there was a picture or somewhere, I need to find a picture of that Robin suit. And
you know what?
Check it.
Just you do have to go back and see that picture.
Yeah.
And not only that, the chat has been heavily weighing in right now.
Yeah, I see that. I'm like listening to you and looking at the chat. I'm like, oh god, god. You know what?
Hey, let's get someone to call in.
Absolutely.
And let's get some more talking going on. We've probably missed a bunch.
Yeah.
Call in, please.
Yeah. Let's get some people coming in here and weigh in on this.
Yeah, because this is there was a lot of stuff in this movie, and seeing it only once, even twice, you still can't remember everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
So I would really like it if someone would call in, weigh in on what we've been talking about and see what
I did see
the other side of the fence, maybe.
I did find a really cool factoid. A friend of mine said, did Doomsday ever talk in the comics? And I went back and looked through. I have all 7 of the Death of Superman series. Was it you?
Yeah, I think it was me.
I went back and looked. Doomsday never said one word or syllable. It was always or something like that.
Damn beast.
He never said anything.
Okay. All right.
So I verified that for you, Dan. For you, because I love you that way. So if we can get a caller come in right now, that'd be awesome. Let's see, where are we at in terms of the list? I think that Doomsday, what did you think about? Oh, look at that. Right there it is. There it is. Oh, man. Ha ha. All the right. Joke's on you. Robin. Wow.
Yo, what's up?
What's going on,
what's
my
going
friend?
On again, guys? What's
How
happening?
You doing, man? Welcome to Pop X, dude.
Thanks.
So
crazy.
Crazy. Go ahead, Dan.
What do you, is there anything, Pete, you think we missed? Anything you want to weigh in on? You think
you guys
on?
Did well. It's weird because this movie combines so much stuff together, mm-hmm. like a mixing pot. I thought that it was weird in a way. I mean, it goes back to The Dark Knight Returns, you know, like I said in the chat earlier, with a lot of the scenes that stills that are right out of the comic. And moves us on into like all the other ones you guys were talking about, and unfortunately ones that I have not read in years.
Yeah.
So I need to go back and revisit them and read them. So I apologize, guys, if any of my data is off, because it's been a while. Let me tell you.
Well, it's been a while for me too, especially with the Dark Knight series. But
yeah. I mean, I was obsessed with it when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, just read it all the time, but like I said, as the years go on, I haven't read much of it.
Yeah,
but I for the most part agree with you guys. I think the editing could have been way different and better. It did lose me, like it lost you guys. I was like, what? Sometimes
the dream sequences just did not line up.
That was a problem. And like Dan Spina said in the chat here, he thought a lot of the dream sequences they were trying to just fit in, just like the comic books were, into the movie. You know how they do that a lot, and I think they thought it worked for them, you know, but it in reality it just kind of lost people. So I kind of agree with him. Yeah, I mean you can, and it goes to show the difference that you can get away with in a book and a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's so tough to take so many, you know, so much of a story and stuff it into this one film. And like, I think, you know, where they did maybe shoot themselves in the foot was maybe being afraid that they weren't going to get the reaction, or maybe they were, you know, they wanted to put all this in there so they could get the budget, so they could get the fan base, and they can get this, you know, drawl of people to, you know, get in like they were with Marvel.
Exactly. Exactly.
Marvel's doing a great job at being cohesive. They're being a good job at being cooperative throughout all these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the Avengers came out, you didn't have to see Iron Man or Captain America or any of those other movies beforehand. You pretty much got everything you needed from that movie, and they did a great job at editing and putting that movie together really well.
Well, I think some of the problem was the movie ended up being too long, like we said before, and when they went in and chopped that 25 or 30 minutes off or whatever it was I read, I think that chop just messed it up a lot with the editing and stuff. I think if we get an extended cut and the stuff that they chopped out is added back in, maybe it would be a little more coherent.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the stuff in that dark world, the apocalypse, I want to call it apocalypse, which is the dark side's home. I want to say that maybe some of that additional footage will actually make the movie more cohesive and understanding. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
I agree.
Just, did you happen to see, Pete, the one scene that they released this past week? The studio released that deleted scene with Lex in the pool of blood. Did you see that one?
I didn't see it. I need to go back and watch it. I've been so busy.
I know. It's really quick. It's just like a minute and 10 seconds or something like that. But I was like, oh man, that would have been so cool, because that would have definitely set up Cyborg. We would have understand what the cube is.
Exactly. Yep.
But it's gone. It's not there. And
hopefully it'll be an extended cut.
Yeah.
I had no idea what Dyson was doing with that cube, you know, from Terminator 2.
Dyson.
Miles.
I got that.
Yeah. Miles Dyson.
What was he doing with that thing? I had no idea what that cube was. All of a sudden, he had this the spark cube from Transformers, and he's putting it
the
in
all
the
spark.
Yeah, the all spark.
Autobots roll out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I was a bit confused with that. I kind of didn't like how they introduced that, you know, how they did the cameos with the other superheroes.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that when you saw the Flash footage, like, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I have something to say about that, but...
But now these characters are already known, you know, they've been watched. I feel like it would have been cooler if they kind of would have just shown up.
Yeah.
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 It would have been three the whole time until now.
Well, they're already established. And they're reinventing something that's already established.
Yeah.
Does that make, I mean.
Yeah, just, no, I understand. Yeah, I agree with you.
And Pete, you had something you want to weigh into on the Flash?
I think that the sequences that they did end up inserting, especially Aquaman's, I thought they're a little pushed in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the way they went down in the sub and Aquaman was there like a dang fish, you know, and just hit the camera. And like, I think they could have been done better. The Flash, you know, as well. I mean, I love the Flash from CW. So I'm like kind of, so I mean, it's, you know, yeah. Ultimate worlds, you know, worlds, whatever, we can do it. You know, we can do it that way. I just, like I said, I thought they were a little pushed in those scenes.
It almost looked like
goes back to editing.
The scene of the boat that they were going down, I was like, oh my God, are we looking for the pearl of the sea? Is this the Titanic?
Yeah, exactly. Cyborg, the Cyborg scene was a little better.
That was pretty cool.
The way they did it. Yeah. It was a little bit better the way they did it.
Have you guys ever seen the cartoon Teen Titans?
Oh, yeah.
Which one? The old one or the new crap one?
No, the old one. The original Teen Titans.
Yes, I enjoyed the old one. I don't like the new one. I think it's garbage.
Do you remember what his voice sounded like, Cyborg's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Screaming, he sounded, that voice sounded so similar to the side, like the booyah, you know, when he did that in Teen Titans a lot.
Yeah,
he sounded,
I didn't realize that till just now.
Incredibly similar. It's like, I'm almost thinking, like, did they get, like they must have found someone that sounded exactly like him. And I'm wondering who the voice actor was, the Cyborg in Teen Titans, because if he had any likeness to the actual character, that would be really cool because that voice sounded incredibly similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a while back, I guess it was TNT was supposed to do the Teen Titans show and it ended up fizzling out. They canceled it.
Oh, an actual like live action show.
Yeah. Well, they were going to have Nightwing in it instead of Robin, I think as leading it. And then I think Red was supposed to come over from Arrow and be in it. But I guess they dumped it. I don't know. I'm hoping maybe Netflix picks it up.
I'm still hoping Netflix picks up Constantine. I'm just saying.
I'm waiting.
I'm hoping. Me too, man.
Or at least it goes to the CW.
Or somewhere.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, we all got the little joke that, you know, from Arrow.
Yeah.
He was on, you know, with the feather. Yeah. That was cool.
Killing a peacock or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was scratching his back with a peacock feather, remember?
Yeah. But... So what do you guys think of the when we got Wonder Woman's appearance?
I liked her as Wonder Woman, honestly.
With the gauntlets and
and especially the lasso was incredible. I like
that. Was getting ready to say that lasso.
Yeah, man. It was a different take on it. It's like a lightsaber lasso type deal.
Yeah,
like
a light whip, right?
Yeah, a light whip.
I was thinking too. We got to see how powerful she actually is. I mean, dude, she was getting tossed around like smacked like right across the whole city, and she's getting up without a scratch, and she was liking it too.
Yeah.
She's definitely,
she got up and she was like smiling. Cool. I don't know. Watch out for her.
I know. But it was really cool. But I didn't like her build up as her sub character, but I loved her in action.
And
I think, you know, they were, again, these cameos we were getting, they were like with Wonder Woman, I don't think they were trying to give you any story on her yet. They were just kind of leaving you the mystery of, all right, so what's the deal with her, And it's like, okay, well, here's her movie. Boom.
June 23rd, 2017. Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
They're giving you taste.
It was also interesting that they picked her to come in first.
Yeah.
You know, her backstory and everything. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can already see that there's a little Wayne's attracted to her. You know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, she is Wonder Woman. Who, I mean, dude.
Who wouldn't be, you know?
Did you notice the part where they're talking to each other at Superman's funeral? And she's like, it's been 100 years since I left fighting for man. And like, Wayne was just kind of like,
That's hot.
Kind of gives this look like 100 years. All right, I'd still go for it.
Yeah.
He just kind of gave this
experience, like, man, experience.
Hey, Pete, do you mind if we let the Lounge Network come in?
I was just going to get out. I was asking them who wanted to come in. I'll talk to y'all later.
Hey, Pete.
Dude, thanks for coming on, man.
You rock, dude. Thank you for your support. And also, Pete, you do the Galactic Roundtable, right?
Yes. Yeah. TGR Star Wars Hour. I do it with Miller. We're on iTunes. Everywhere can be found. If you guys like Star Wars,
URL?
Huh?
What's your domain?
Yeah, we're the galacticroundtable.net. You can go through there and get everything. All our links are on there.
Pete, for the win. Bam.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, dude.
Have a good night, dude. See ya.
All right, so we got about probably 10 minutes. We got the Lounge Network calling in here right now. They're going to be coming in talking a little bit about Batman versus Superman. What is up, dude? Thanks for joining us tonight on PopX.
Uh-oh. Boys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, we can hear you loud and clear, man.
What? Did you say something? No, I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Who sounds like Batman?
You sound like Batman.
Oh. Yeah.
You kind of got a deep voice.
With Bruce Wayne's glasses.
Do you have anything to chime in about, man, what we've been talking about tonight?
I enjoyed the movie. I had a good time with it. I also enjoyed, because I read the comic books, even though they stitched them all together fairly badly, just having the visuals from the comic books come to life, which is one of the things I enjoy about watching comic book movies, and also having been a comic book artist. So that's like every artist's fantasy is to see your art come to life. So, you know, it's cool to see some of that. But throwing in those dream sequences was very confusing. Also, didn't care for the throwing of the extra characters without any explanation as to who they were. I know that's the big mystery, and that's what we'll probably find out in the next movie. But, you know, that's one of the things I felt a little uncomfortable with. And I got to wear my glasses to read the comments, so I apologize. I'm old.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever played the Arkham Asylum series on Xbox or PlayStation? I think it's for PlayStation 2. Have you ever played that game?
I've watched it. And those things are incredible. Those sequences.
You remember the fighting style in that game, how it was just like Batman being like just like brutal with the attacks, mm-hmm. and how like quick and fast paced it was with that, like the way he was using his fighting style. I felt like they almost replicated that fight scene where he saves Martha.
And they needed to. They needed to, like, because every Batman movie I've seen, I mean, Batman very much is like a wuss. You know, for me to think that Daredevil has better fight sequences on a Netflix series than any of the Batman movies.
Better.
You know,
they were top-notch.
Daredevil, we need to do a podcast on Daredevil alone, because their fight sequences is all in one take.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. But that whole, that when he saves Martha Kent, that scene was great. I mean, when he gets stabbed, he's just like, he gets stabbed, he's like, oh, and then he like just literally goes like Hulk on them guys. He like throws the one dude off, and then he throws the guy against the wall, and then takes the knife that he stabbed him with and stabs him right in the same shoulder.
Exactly.
But it was great because like you could see like how strong he got himself, you know, even though it made no difference. Superman is basically a freaking god.
Yeah.
But he like, there was one part where he took his ripcord thing and he throws a full like huge wooden crate at a dude, and I was like, that takes a bunch of strength to be able to pull that off.
It was awesome.
And that whole scene was great. Like just the sound effects were really good, right. And you could just like feel like when he broke the dude's arm, like it was brutal. I mean, he kicked
that's Batman.
He got shot in the back of the head.
Remember the dude shot in the back of the head? Yeah, I remember that.
What I really enjoyed was they finally showed Batman, you know, doing his research, doing his little chemical analysis, the things that Batman would normally do.
The science.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit like Spider-Man in there, you know, a little bit of Tony Stark.
Tony Stark was his butler.
Right.
Yes, no, Mr. Wayne.
Jeremy Irons not look like an old, like skinnier Robert Downey Jr.? Come on. There was moments in there where I was like, holy crap, it's Iron Man.
It kind of did look a little bit. But it was cool to see a different take on Alfred, something we've not seen before.
True.
I thought it was great. Regardless of whether or not he did look like Tony Stark, I thought he did a great job. Yeah. Jeremy Irons is the man.
Yeah, he's very good. Did you guys see the Google Maps of the Batcave?
No.
Can
you drop the link for us in the chat?
I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But if you do a quick Google search for like Batcave Google Maps, it's somewhere near Detroit, which is really neat.
Okay.
And you get to go into the tunnels, you get to go around the Batmobile. It's beautiful.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. If somebody listening to this can quickly get on Google and give us a link, that'd be awesome. We'll share it. But I was actually looking, you know, that we all know the fatal blow from the movie when Doomsday pierces Superman into the chest with one of his bony structured whatever it is, I don't know. I was actually looking through the comics today, and this is the fatal blow from the comics that were written back in 1994. And that's the kind of the last blow that killed Superman right there.
What I find weird and yet interesting is the weakness in how they created Doomsday.
Yeah, it felt like they had just taken the CGI of Abomination from Incredible Hulk, put a new skin on him, put some bones out of his back, and boom.
I thought when he came out of that chrysalis, he looked like a damn orc.
He did look like an orc.
I thought this was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Now, what also was interesting is how he was giving off like almost like little mini nuke explosions every time he screamed.
Yeah, and his eyes would glow, and was that in the comics? The nuke explosion?
I don't think it was.
It wasn't.
But
yeah,
so
the cave troll. That's true. He does look like the cave troll.
That's what I'm saying.
They could have easily have just taken it straight off the comic. It was well done on the comic.
Yeah,
they easily could have done that, and I don't know why they didn't.
Yeah, and the comic version of him looks even more sinister. Anyway, it's weird. Yeah. You know,
and the story in the comic makes more sense. Better. You know, if anybody knows the storyline, he was a creation on Krypton.
Yeah,
and existed for centuries, and it was a weapon, and he couldn't die; he'd come back, and each time he comes back, he can't be killed the same way. So, and I don't know how they expect us to think that
Lex Luthor's hand, his blood, with Zod.
Well, that's I think the excuse they're going to use for this is why he died permanently with kryptonite.
Yeah,
because as we all know, Superman lives.
Yeah,
even with kryptonite. And eventually he heals and with the sun and stuff like that. So why wouldn't Doomsday? But I guess the weakness is if you put human DNA, who knows?
Yeah. Good points,
well,
man.
There was, that Doomsday was a little, that was insane. I mean, there was a lot there that maybe could have been dove in. It was really, there was a lot there, but not enough time, you know?
It's like we got a really... We got an awesome battle. There's like so much going on. There's a battle between Batman and Superman. Then there is a battle between Batman and the whole gang in the warehouse on the pier. And then there's this battle between Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman against Doomsday. It's just like my head was exploding when I got out of the theater. I was like,
I feel like there was a little bit of symbolism there with Batman creating a spear kill a god. Does that, like, it's kind of biblical, like the way that they did that, you know, the spear of destiny kind of thing.
Did anybody expect Aquaman just to come out of the water and hand her the scepter?
You know, I did expect
I was like, wait a minute,
or at least did that really slow. From the water or something like that.
I was just waiting for it. I was just like, all right, she's drowning. Superman can't give to her. Who the only guy in the water is Aquaman. Is this going to be where we actually see him come out and just like, and I was like, oh.
Because in the comic book, Doomsday beats the daylights out of the whole Justice League.
Yeah, absolutely he does. Yeah, even Supergirl's involved in the battle as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I had a poster from the comic book, and it was his coffin with the S on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a bunch of all the superheroes carrying him.
Cool, man. Gabe mentions that he can't swim with the spear, but he can fly with it. Well, water probably, just like electricity probably travels through the water, where in air it's probably not as, I don't know, I'm just making up stuff, but I'm just trying to justify it.
Well, cool. I'm just going to say this.
Go ahead.
Ben Affleck is Batman. I loved him. Mm.
Ditto.
I thought he was a great Bruce Wayne, too.
Have you seen the interviews where he just looks like really upset because they're talking about how bad it was doing?
It was actually kind of.
He's going through a divorce and he's going through all these bad things in his life.
It's heart wrenching.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, sad Ben.
Yeah,
and, it added to a
he worked
Bruce
his butt
Wayne
off on then. This movie, I think.
Yeah. It added to the brooding Bruce Wayne that we're used to.
But I think this is the year of redemption. Ryan Reynolds was redeemed with Deadpool, and I think Affleck is redeemed with Batman. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Pretty much.
I think just Affleck as a person is a little more humbled.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's actually a really great way to say it, Daniel.
Yeah.
But cool, man. Thanks for joining us. We're about ready to wrap up things up here.
All right, guys.
All right, man.
Good chatting.
Hopping in.
Talk
all right,
to you
dude.
Soon.
Have a good one.
Don't we have some crazy news to announce? And thanks for joining in, man. Sorry. I just kind of got – I'm looking at the show notes here, and I'm thinking, holy moly. I almost forgot. We have a contest.
Yes, we
winner
do.
To announce.
Dude, I'm telling you, this has been going on for the past month. It's been a month long contest, and we did get some people over on iTunes leave us some really awesome comments, and we're actually going to draw that now. And Dan, you got your little code ready, and the lucky winner is going to get this awesome. Look at this print. So you're going to get the Cesar Romero hand-signed. I can actually personally sign it for you if you want me to. It's one of my own drawings. And look at this. We have our lucky Mr. The Avengers bucket with the names inside the bucket. So there they all are.
Oh, man.
So here we go. This is it. So we're going to draw, and this is how it's going to be. I want to thank everybody so much for just joining us over on iTunes and subscribing and giving us 5-star rating and leaving some amazing comments. You guys are truly awesome. And I just want to say, can't you read it?
Oh, no way.
Our Devin very Myers,
Red Five Mom
in the house. Woo. Oh, she just won herself an artwork. That is freaking awesome. One of our most faithful supporters here at PopXcast. Let me add that. And we actually, you know what? We actually had a voicemail from Devin this past week. Her and her Padawan went to the Batman versus Superman. And so,
oh, well, it seems as though the force is very strong with this one.
Yes. Well, let's see what Miss Devin had to say as they got out of the theater and the PopX line. Here, let's see what she's got to say.
Hey, PopX cast, this is Red 5 Mom and her Padawan, Michael, and we just got out of Superman versus Batman, and it was, what was it, Michael? Say it better than that.
Epic!
We loved it. It was a superhero movie on steroids. And we loved it. I don't want to give spoilers if you're going to put this on the podcast, but it was also, do we say it, Michael? Or you can probably edit it out. Spoiler alert. I cried and Michael didn't want me to, but that was sad. There were some sad parts, but we loved the Batmobile. Yeah. The Batmobile was epic, and we loved the Batplane. And Hans Zimmer, the soundtrack, he nailed it. It was so wonderful. I love that soundtrack. I cannot wait to just listen to the soundtrack. We're going to go see it in 3D the next time we go, because we've got to see that again. We loved it. It was wonderful. And Wonder Woman was so cool. Right, Michael?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was cool. And Michael, who are you most excited to see next time?
Aquaman!
Oh, yeah.
It was fun and epic. This is Red 5 Mom and her Padawan Michael signing out.
Oh my God, that was so cool, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. What a great, great voicemail. Oh man.
You know what, guys? If you want to leave us a voicemail, we do have a hotline. If you go see a movie or you're reading a comic book or you're diving all into something all over again, leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you're into this week. 850-417-POPX. And that's 850-417-7679. Okay.
All right.
Daniel, that was a pretty cool episode, man.
Yeah. And you know what? We could have probably gone on for a little longer and touched base on a lot more things that were going on in that movie. But we've got more coming out and we've got plenty of time to digest when the Blu-ray drops, we can do a commentary episode or something, but mm-hmm. we've got plenty of material with this, and it was a great show. We've had some good callers, some good weigh-ins from other minds that are out there in the nerd world, and I really enjoyed it, and I think the movie was great, and I'll definitely give it another view when it comes out on Blu-ray. So
that's awesome. And hey, yeah, man, what's up?
Oh, I was just, nope, go ahead. You go.
Are you sure?
You first, buddy.
Oh, stop it. You're so slack. Anyway, be sure to follow us over on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and all those at PopXCast. That's our official handles on all social medias. And Dan, if people want to like drop us an email, how can they do that?
Yeah, popxcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Also call us on that phone line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a voicemail. Give us an email. Any kind of mail.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna give you my address, but
no snail mail. No.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. And also, you can find me at StayOnTarget42 everywhere. I try to be everywhere, but that's where you can find me at StayOnTarget42. You can look that up. And I'm at
IStriveToThrive. Be sure to check me out. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook. All these social media outlets, you can find me easily at I Strive to Thrive. And should we drop the news about the upcoming May guest, or should we just hold that one back for a little bit?
Let's just say May the 4th be with you is going to be quite the episode.
Epic. And
if you are someone who has been reading the Star Wars comic book series, we have got something special cooking, and I can't wait for this one. Mm. Also, with that little bit, I just wanted to show you one little thing that I was sent in the mail by a good friend here who I wanted to drop a line to. I got myself my very own little PopXcast vinyl that I'm going to put on my car.
Oh, and my God, that thing is so cool.
Right. And this is the logo of the one who made it.
Oh.
And she is in the chat room right now. And her name is DSC Fatals.
Fatalis.
Is that what that says?
Fatalis. Yeah.
I'm terrible. Anyway, I'm pretty sure you can get on her Etsy and order these cool vinyls. And you will find her. I think it's Diary of a Sith Chick. And it's diaryofasithchick.com, diaryofasithchick.com.
And just for the record, she is she's part of the Galactic Roundtable podcast as well. And that is at TGR Star Wars. That is the official podcast. And then you can find her, if you want one of these PopX finals, her Etsy. Connect with her on Twitter. It's DSCFATALIS. That's DSC Fatalis. connect with her and follow her over on the beautiful Twitters. Dan, I think that's it. We're wrapping things up here. And Mike Ippolito down in the window, thank you so much for doing the slides this week. You rock as always. Yes.
Number one.
You are ready. You are ready. Thank you very much.
A great night.
Every week, he always surprises me. I never know what he's going to do.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. So from all of us here, we'll see you next time on episode 10. And take care. And you know what? Get your geek on.
Have a good night.
From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube at PopX Cast. Get your geek on.